34th session of Mantra Yoga. Tonight we embark on a journey into the depths of the practice of Mantra Yoga with a new series titled Perfection of Yoga by the Revered Spiritual Leader, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Before we delve into the teachings that will guide us towards spiritual enlightenment and inner peace, let's prepare ourselves and pray. Please make use of the following guidelines to optimize your receptivity and derive maximum benefit from this session. Dedicate the next 40 to 50 minutes exclusively for this purpose. If you have children or pets who might interrupt you, please ensure that they are taken care of for the duration of the session. Please turn off your cell phone and avoid texting or checking it during the session. Please sit with your hands on your knees, palms open, facing upwards with your spine comfortably erect, and close your eyes. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, relax into this exhalation. Take one more deep breath, and as you exhale, relax even more into this exhalation. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax completely into this one. Now please put your hands together in prayer and close your eyes. Repeat after me. Swastiyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasiddhatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Dhiya Namaschah Bhadram Bhajatad Adokshaje Avishyatam No Matir Api Ahituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing Mantra Yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence and always remain in His thought.
The Perfection of Yoga. Chapter 1. Yoga as rejected by Arjuna. There have been many yoga systems popularized in the Western world, especially in this century, but none of them have actually taught the perfection of yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, teaches Arjuna directly the perfection of yoga. If we actually want to participate in the perfection of the yoga system, in Bhagavad Gita, we will find the authoritative statements of the Supreme Person. It is certainly remarkable that the perfection of yoga was taught in the middle of a battlefield. It was taught to Arjun, the warrior, just before Arjun was to engage in a fratricidal battle. Out of sentiment, Arjuna was thinking, why should I fight against my own kinsmen? That reluctance to fight was due to Arjuna's illusion. And just to eradicate that illusion, Sri Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him. One can just imagine how little time must have elapsed while Bhagavad Gita was being spoken. All the warriors on both sides were poised to fight. So there was very little time indeed, at the utmost 1 hour. Within this 1 hour, the whole Bhagavad Gita was discussed and Sri Krishna set forth the perfection of all yoga systems to his friend Arjuna. At the end of this great discourse, Arjuna set aside his misgivings and fought. However, within the discourse, when Arjuna heard the explanation of the meditational system of yoga, how to sit down, how to keep the body straight, how to keep the eyes half closed, and how to gaze at the tip of the nose without diverting one's attention. All this being conducted in a secluded place, alone. He replied, Yoyam yogas tvaya proktaha samyena madhusudana etasyaham napashyami chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, verse number 33. This is important. We must always remember that we are in a material circumstance wherein at every moment our mind is subject to agitation. Actually, we are not in a very comfortable situation. We are always thinking that by changing our situation, we will overcome our mental agitation. And we are always thinking that when we reach a certain point, all mental agitations will disappear. But it is the nature of the material world that we cannot be free from anxiety. Our dilemma is that we are always trying to make a solution to our problems. But this universe is so designed that these solutions never come. Not being a cheater, being very frank and open, Arjuna tells Krishna that the system of yoga which he has described is not possible for him to execute. In speaking to Krishna, it is significant that Arjuna addresses him as Madhusudana, indicating that the Lord is the killer of the demon Madhu. It is notable that God's names are innumerable, for he is often named according to his activities. Indeed, God has innumerable names because he has innumerable activities. We are only parts of God, and we cannot even remember how many activities we have engaged in from our childhood to the present. The eternal God is unlimited, and since his activities are also unlimited, he has unlimited names, of which Krishna is the chief. Then why is Arjuna addressing him as Madhusudana when, being Krishna's friend, he could address him directly as Krishna? The answer is that Arjuna considers his mind to be like a great demon, such as the demon Madhu. If it were possible for Krishna to kill the demon called the mind, then Arjuna would be able to attain the perfection of yoga. My mind is much stronger than this demon Madhu. Arjuna is saying, please, if you could kill him, then it would be possible for me to execute this yoga system. Even the mind of a great man like Arjun is always agitated. As Arjuna himself says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna Pramathi balavadridham Tasyaham nigraham manye Vayoreva sudushkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it seems to me more difficult than controlling the wind. Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, verse number 34. It is indeed a fact that the mind is always telling us to go here, go there, do this, do that. It is always telling us which way to turn. Thus, the sum and substance of the yoga system is to control the agitated mind. In the meditational yoga system, the mind is controlled by focusing on the super soul. That is the whole purpose of yoga. But Arjuna says that controlling this mind is more difficult than stopping the wind from blowing. One can imagine a man stretching out his arms, trying to stop a hurricane. Are we to assume that Arjuna is simply not sufficiently qualified to control his mind? The actual fact is that we cannot begin to understand the immense qualifications of Arjuna. After all, he was a personal friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a highly elevated position and is one that cannot be at all attained by one without great qualifications. In addition to this, Arjuna was renowned as a great warrior and administrator. He was such an intelligent man that he could understand Bhagavad Gita within 1 hour. Whereas at the present moment, great scholars cannot even understand it in the course of a lifetime. Yet Arjuna was thinking that controlling the mind was simply not possible for him. Are we then to assume that what was impossible for Arjuna in a more advanced age is possible for us in this degenerate age? We should not for one moment think that we are in Arjuna's category. We are 1,000 times inferior. Moreover, there is no record of Arjuna's having executed the yoga system at any time. Yet, Arjuna was praised by Krishna as the only man worthy of understanding Bhagavad Gita. What was Arjuna's great qualification? Shri Krishna says, "You are my devotee. You are my very dear friend." Despite this qualification, Arjuna refused to execute the meditational yoga system described by Shri Krishna. What then are we to conclude? Are we to despair the mind's ever being controlled? No, it can be controlled. And the process is this Krishna consciousness. The mind must be fixed always in Krishna. Insofar as the mind is absorbed in Krishna, it has attained the perfection of yoga. Now when we turn to the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, we find Shukadev Goswami telling Maharaj Parikshit that in the golden age, the Satyuga, people were living for 100,000 years. And at that time, when advanced living entities lived for such lengths of time, it was possible to execute this meditational system of yoga. But what was achieved in the Satyuga by this meditational process and in the following yuga, the Treta Yuga, by the offering of great sacrifices, and in the next yuga, the Dwapar Yuga, by temple worship, would be achieved at the present time in this Kali Yuga by simply chanting the names of God, Hari Kirtana, Hare Krishna. So from authoritative sources, we learn that this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the embodiment of the perfection of yoga for this age. Today we have great difficulties living 50 or 60 years. A man may live at the utmost 80 or 100 years. In addition, these brief years are always fraught with anxiety, with difficulties due to circumstances of war, pestilence, famine, and so many other disturbances. We are also not very intelligent, and at the same time, we are unfortunate. These are the characteristics of man living in Kali Yuga, a degraded age. So properly speaking, we can never attain success in this meditational yoga system described by Krishna. At the utmost, we can only gratify our personal whims by some pseudo-adaptation of this system. Thus, people are paying money to attend some classes in gymnastic exercises and deep breathing. And they are happy if they think they can lengthen their lifetimes by a few years or enjoy better sex life. But we must understand that this is not the actual yoga system. In this age, that meditational system cannot be properly executed. Instead, all of the perfections of that system can be realized through bhakti yoga. The sublime process of Krishna consciousness, specifically mantra yoga, the glorification of Sri Krishna through the chanting of Hare Krishna. That is recommended in Vedic scriptures and is introduced by great authorities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, The Bhagavad Gita proclaims that the Mahatmas, the great souls, are always chanting the glories of the Lord. If one wants to be a Mahatma in terms of the Vedic literature, in terms of Bhagavad Gita, and in terms of the great authorities, then one has to adopt this process of Krishna consciousness and of chanting Hare Krishna. But if we are content at making a show of meditation by sitting very straight in lotus position and going into a trance like some sort of performer, then that is a different thing. But we should understand that such show bottle performances have nothing to do with the actual perfection of yoga. The material disease cannot be cured by artificial medicine. We have to take the real cure straight from Krishna. The Perfection of Yoga, Chapter 2, Yoga as Work in Devotion. We have heard the names of so many different yogas and yogis. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the actual yogi is he who has surrendered himself fully unto me. Krishna proclaims that there is no difference between renunciation, sannyas, and yoga. Yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam vidhi pandava nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kashchana. What is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. For no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. Bhagavad Gita chapter number 6, verse number 2. In Bhagavad Gita, there are three basic types of yoga delineated: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. The systems of yoga may be likened to a staircase. Someone may be on the first step, someone may be halfway up, or someone may be on the top step. When one is elevated to certain levels, he is known as a Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, etc. In all cases, the service to the Supreme Lord is the same. It is a difference in elevation only. Thus, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that he must understand that renunciation, sannyas, and yoga are the same. Because without being freed from desire and sense gratification, one can become neither a yogi nor a sannyasi. There are some yogis who perform yoga for a profit, but that is not real yoga. Everything must be engaged in the service of the Lord. Whatever we do as an ordinary worker, or as a sannyasi, or as a yogi, or as a philosopher, must be done in Krishna consciousness. When we are absorbed in the thought of serving Krishna, and when we act in that consciousness, we can become real sannyasis and real yogis. For those who are taking the first step up the staircase of the yoga system, there is work. One should not think that simply because he is beginning yoga, he should stop working. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna to become a yogi, but he never tells him to cease from fighting. Quite the contrary, of course, one may ask how a person may be a yogi and at the same time a warrior. Our conception of yoga practice is that of sitting very straight with legs crossed and eyes half closed, staring at the tip of our nose and concentrating in this way in a lonely place. So how is it that Krishna is asking Arjuna to become a yogi and at the same time participates in a ghastly civil war? That is the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. One can remain a fighting man and at the same time be the highest yogi, the highest sannyasi. How is this possible? In Krishna consciousness, one simply has to fight for Krishna, work for Krishna, eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, and dedicate all activities to Krishna. In this way, one becomes the highest yogi and the highest sannyasi. That is the secret. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Shri Krishna instructs Arjuna how to perform meditational yoga. But Arjuna rejects this as too difficult. How then is Arjuna considered to be a great yogi? Although Krishna saw that Arjuna was rejecting the meditational system, he proclaimed Arjuna to be the highest yogi because you are always thinking of me. Thinking of Krishna is the essence of all yoga systems. Of the Hatha, Karma, Jnana, Bhakti or any other system of yoga, sacrifice or charity. All the recommended activities for spiritual realization end in Krishna consciousness. In thinking always of Krishna, the actual perfection of human life lies in being always Krishna conscious and always being aware of Krishna while performing all types of activities. In the preliminary stage, one is advised to always work for Krishna. One must be always searching out some duty or some engagement, for it is a bad policy to remain idle even for a second. When one actually becomes advanced through such engagements, then he may not work physically, but he is always engaged within by constantly thinking of Krishna. In the preliminary stage, however, one is always advised to engage one's senses in the service of Krishna. There are a variety of activities one can perform in serving Krishna. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is intended to help direct aspirant devotees in these activities. For those working in Krishna consciousness, there are simply not enough hours in a day to serve Krishna. There are always activities, engagements both day and night, which the student of Krishna consciousness performs joyfully. That is the stage of real happiness. Constant engagement for Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. In the material world, one may become very tired if he works all the time. But if one works in Krishna consciousness, he can chant Hare Krishna and engage in devotional service 24 hours a day and never get tired. But if we vibrate some mundane vibration, then we soon become exhausted. There is no question of becoming tired on the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform is absolute. In the material world, everyone is working for sense gratification. The profits of one's labor in the material world are used to gratify one's senses. But a real yogi does not desire such fruits. He has no desire other than Krishna, and Krishna is already there.
The perfection of yoga. Chapter 3. Yoga as meditation on Krishna. In India, there are sacred places where yogis go to meditate in solitude as prescribed in Bhagavad Gita. Traditionally, yoga cannot be executed in a public place, but in so far as kirtan, mantra yoga, or the yoga of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare is concerned, the more people present, the better. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan in India some 500 years ago, he organized in each group 16 people to lead the chanting and thousands of people chanted with them. This participation in kirtan, in the public, chanting of the names and glories of God is very possible and is actually easy in this age. But as far as the meditational process of yoga is concerned, that is very difficult. It is specifically stated in Bhagavad Gita that to perform meditational yoga, one should go to a secluded and holy place. In other words, it is necessary to leave home. In this age of overpopulation, it is not always possible to find a secluded place, but this is not necessary in Bhakti Yoga. In the Bhakti Yoga system, there are 9 different processes: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping the deity in the temple, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as a friend and sacrificing for him. Out of these, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, are considered the most important. At a public Kirtan, one person can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, while a group listens, and at the end of the mantra, the group can respond, and in this way, there is a reciprocation of hearing and chanting. This can easily be performed in one's own home with a small group of friends or with many people in a large public place. One may attempt to practice meditational yoga in a large city or in a society, but one must understand that this is one's own concoction and it is not the method recommended in Bhagavad Gita. The whole process of the yoga system is to purify oneself. And what is this purification? Purification ensues upon the realization of one's actual identity. Purification is realizing that I am pure spirit, I am not this matter. Due to material contact, we are identifying ourselves with matter and we are thinking, I am this body. But in order to perform real yoga, one must realize his constitutional position as being distinct from matter. The purpose of seeking out a secluded place and executing the meditational process is to come to this understanding. It is not possible to come to this understanding if one executes the process improperly. In any case, this is the consideration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Namaiva Kevalam Kalau Nastieva 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 Gatiri Anyata. In this age of quarrel and disagreement, Kali Yuga, there is no other way of spiritual realization but this chanting of the names. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. It is generally thought, at least in the Western world, that yoga system involves meditating on the void. But the Vedic literatures do not recommend meditating on any void. Rather, the Vedas maintain that yoga means meditation on Vishnu, and this is also maintained in Bhagavad Gita. In many yoga societies, we find that people sit cross-legged and very straight, then close their eyes to meditate, and so 50% of them go to sleep, because when we close our eyes and have no subject matter for contemplation, we simply go to sleep. Of course, this is not recommended by Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. One must sit very straight and the eyes be closed only half, gazing at the tip of one's nose. If one does not follow the instructions, the result will be sleep and nothing more. Sometimes, of course, meditation goes on when one is sleeping, but this is not the recommended process for the execution of yoga. Thus, to keep oneself awake, Krishna advises that one always keep the tip of the nose visible. In addition, one must be always undisturbed. If the mind is agitated or if there is a great deal of activity going on, one will not be able to concentrate. In meditational yoga, one must also be devoid of fear. There is no question of fear when one enters spiritual life, and one must be brahmachari, completely free from sex life. Nor can there be any demands on one meditating in this way. When there are no demands and one executes this system properly, then he can control his mind. After one has met all the requirements for meditation, he must transfer his whole thought to Krishna or Vishnu. It is not that one is to transfer his thought to vacancy. Thus, Krishna says that one absorbed in the meditational yoga system is always thinking of me. The yogi obviously has to go through a great deal of difficulty to purify the Atma, mind, body and soul. But it is a fact that this can be done most effectively in this age simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Why is this? Because this transcendental sound vibration is non-different from Krishna. When we chant his name with devotion, then Krishna is with us. And when Krishna is with us, then what is the possibility of remaining impure? Consequently, one absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in chanting the names of Krishna and serving him always, receives the benefit of the highest form of yoga. The advantage is that he doesn't have to take all the trouble of meditational process. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In yoga, it is necessary to control all of the senses, and when all the senses are controlled, the mind must be engaged in thinking of Vishnu. One becomes peaceful after thus conquering material life. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitah. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. Bhagavad Gita 6.7. This material world has been linked to a great forest fire. As in the forest, fire may automatically take place, so in this material world, although we may try to live peacefully, there is always a great conflagration. It is not possible to live in peace anywhere in the material world. But for one who is transcendentally situated, either by the meditational yoga system or by the empirical philosophical method or by bhakti yoga, peace is possible. All forms of yoga are meant for transcendental life, but the method of chanting is especially effective in this age. Kirtan may go on for hours and one may not feel tired, but it is difficult to sit in lotus position perfectly still for more than a few minutes. Yet, regardless of the process, once the fire of material life is extinguished, one does not simply experience what is called impersonal void. Rather, as Krishna tells Arjun, one enters into the supreme abode. Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi niyata manasah shantim nirvana paramam mat sanstam adhigachati. By meditating in this manner, always controlling the body, mind and activities, the mystic transcendentalist attains to the kingdom of God through cessation of material existence. Bhagavad Gita 6.15. Krishna's abode is not void. It is like an establishment, and in an establishment there is a variety of engagements. The successful yogi actually attains to the kingdom of God, where there is spiritual variegatedness. The yoga processes are simply ways to elevate oneself to enter into that abode. Actually, we belong to that abode, but being forgetful, we are put in this material world. Just as a madman becomes crazy and is put into a lunatic asylum, so we, losing sight of our spiritual identity, become crazy and are put into this material world. Thus, the material world is a sort of lunatic asylum, and we can easily notice that nothing is done very sanely here. Our real business is to get out and enter into the kingdom of God. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us information of this kingdom and also gives instructions about his position and our position of what he is and what we are. All the information necessary is set forth in Bhagavad Gita, and a sane man will take advantage of this knowledge.
So we'll do some practical meditations from here. Remember, meditation is a simple technique, almost anyone can enjoy and can do it. What you need to do is simply sit quietly and comfortably in a relaxed and steady position. Still the body, make the breathing process serene, that is calm, deep, without check. And then allow the mind to become quiet and focused. Simply allow your eyes to close, but don't squeeze them shut or create any pressure on your eyes. Simply let all your facial muscles relax. Your mouth should also be gently closed without any tension in the jaw. All breathing is done through the nostrils. Your shoulders and arms should be relaxed and allowed to rest gently on your knees. Your arm should be so completely relaxed that if someone who wishes to pick up your hand, your arms would be limp. You can gently join the thumb and index finger in a position called finger lock. This mudra or gesture creates a circle which you can think of symbolically as a small circle that recycles the energy within. If you can sit on the floor with your legs crossed like kids in the candy, well and good. Or sit on a chair, but make sure you are comfortable with your feet flat on the floor and your hands resting gently on your thighs. Your palms are facing up. This posture allows you to begin the process of meditation without creating any difficulty for the body. In a moment, we shall begin practical mantra yoga. And let us remind ourselves that for the next 30 minutes so, all we will do is sitting and softly chanting or singing. From time to time, our mind will wander away. And this is completely fine. What we shall do is gently guide the mind back into the sound. Concentrate, listen to your voice, sound of the mantra, and continue chanting or singing as the situation is. And now we'll begin to recite the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now let's do it together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.